the next thing the contract talks about is loans. And I think there's a lot of mistakes made here and misunderstandings. So let's see if we can clear that up. The first thing we want to talk about is the loan itself, like the first loan. Is the buyer going to get a new first loan? And there's a paragraph in that, and it said, the loan will be conventional financing or a checked FHA, VA, seller, whatever. And so one of the mistakes I think you agents make is that you don't fill this form out. And since the contract is contingent, meaning that it's subject to the buyer's approval of whatever loan they get, in fact, under loan contingency, the contract says that obtaining the loan specified above is a contingency. So it matters what you put in this paragraph, because it's not the buyer getting a loan that's a contingency, it's a buyer getting this loan as a contingency. So what happens when it's left blank? Does that mean that any loan the buyer could get, because the buyer can always get a 12% loan, does that mean that's what the contingency is and it gives them a right to walk away? It's really critical to fill this thing out properly. Now, how do you do that? You're a real estate broker. You don't know what loan terms are, but the buyer has been to a lender, correctly? If you've really done this the right way, you've got a lender working with this buyer. So you need to talk to the lender and say, what is the going rate and what should I put in this paragraph? Now, here's one of the big mistakes that can be made. If you make this contract contingent upon getting a loan at, let's say, 5%, and during the transaction, the rates go to 5.1%, the buyer has a legal right to walk away. That doesn't make any sense to the buyer or to the seller. So what I would do is make sure you're at least maybe 0.25% higher, or in some cases, 0.5% higher. If I'm on the listing side and you come in and you come in with a, let's say you make a contingent on 4%, and I don't know if 4% is real or not, especially it's not going to fund today, is it? It's going to fund 30, 45 days down the road when you're getting ready to close escrow. So I would always counter the buyer back at a higher rate than they brought in if it was too low. One of the things Carr did in this new contract was to add the language that allows you to write the terms of a second loan if there is one. I think it's really interesting that just about the time they changed the loan paragraph to include second loans, we don't do any second loans anymore. But anyway, if you need to use it, it is there. And also it has a place on that same paragraph to talk about FHA and VA. Now, I think the biggest change that's been made here was in the past, the contract said that if the lender required repairs of the seller as part of the loan, and that's very common in FHA loans because they always send an appraiser in, you know, to check the house out, and if something's not working, then the lender comes back and says, we'll approve this loan only if the seller will fix the following item. Well, the old contract said that the seller had to fix that item if the appraiser came in and said that. So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So the new contract's been changed because it says within X number of days, the buyer is to deliver to the seller written notice that the lender has required certain repairs and requested the sellers pay for them. Then it goes on to say the seller has no obligation to pay for these items. So that means that you have to negotiate it, which is only fair. And of course, if the seller then agrees to make certain repairs, what would you have to do? You'd have to write an addendum to cover that. The next thing, and I think this is somewhat confusing as well, you know how many times we ask the seller to pay for closing costs? Where do you put that? Do you put it in terms and conditions? I don't like it there. There's actually a place right on page one called additional financing terms, which allows you to say seller to credit buyer, you know, $5,000 in non-recurring closing costs. I always get upset when I get an offer come in and it said it's $450,000. And then I turn to page four, paragraph 11, under terms and conditions and finds out the buyer is asking for $10,000 in non-recurring closing costs. So I don't have a $450 offer, I have a $440 offer. So that's why that paragraph is up here. So if you want to put in anything relative to financing or credits or whatever, that's where you put it on page one under paragraph 3D. The next issue has to do with down payment. It says the balance of the down payment in the amount of blank is to be deposited with escrow holder in sufficient time to close escrow. Now, I'd like to bring up that issue I talked about before about what if the buyer is writing an offer with money they don't have. It's not uncommon that people say, I'm going to get a loan from mom. I'm going to sell my stock. I'm going to get a settlement from a lawsuit. My ex-husband's going to give me money, or on and on and on. And so they write the contract around the future. Here's the problem with that. You are suggesting to the seller when you write this offer that you have this money. And one of the reasons that a seller would accept an offer over another is the financing. For example, if you have a buyer that's putting 3% down and I come in with an offer of putting 25 or 30% down, then my offer looks better, doesn't it? And it's more likely to close escrow. It's more likely to appraise. It's more likely to get loan approval because the lender has less risk. But the contract has solved a problem for us that has been plaguing this industry for a long time. Here's how it goes. You know, the contract is contingent upon the buyer getting loan approval, correct? So the assumption is that if you don't get loan approval, then the buyer has a legal right to walk. But there's an exception. Here's what happens. The buyer writes an offer, but they really don't have the down payment. They're going to get it. And it comes time to close of escrow, and they don't have the down payment. Thus, they don't get the loan. Thus, the lender disapproves them. Thus, the buyer comes back to the seller and says, here, I have a disapproval letter. I want out of the deal. And in most cases, the seller says, okay. The problem is, that's not what the contract says. Remember, we talked about earlier about what does the contract say? Here's what the contract says. Buyer's contractual obligations to obtain and provide the deposit, the balance of the down payment, and closing cost is not a contingency of this agreement. Now, if contingencies is the right to walk away, then not a contingency means what? You don't have a right to walk away. So what this means is that if during this transaction, the deal doesn't close or the buyer doesn't get his loan because he doesn't have the deposit, he doesn't have the down payment, or he doesn't have the closing costs that he needs to close the escrow, the buyer is in breach and he cannot use that as a reason to get out of the contract. You know, I've been on several forms committees, and you know, one of the jokes in the committee, which you may not find funny, says, let's put it in the contract, that way agents will never see it, under the argument that we never read the contract. And one of those clauses is in paragraph G, 3G of the contract, and it's called verification of down payment and closing cost. And here's what that means. I think everybody knows that when you have a cash sale, it's typical that the buyer has to provide evidence of the funds. Otherwise, you might be dealing with a crazy person that's going around writing offers on properties and not having any money. But what they don't realize is the contract was changed several years ago, and it now says that the buyer has to verify their funds, their ability to close with the seller on every transaction. That's what paragraph 3G says. And that's a problem, isn't it, for some of your clients? I mean, how many buyers really want to show their bank account to the seller? But the problem is it doesn't have to be done that way because it also says that the lender can do it. It says the buyer's lender or loan broker can do it as well. So that means what? That means if they go into their lender up front, the lender can then do this verification by saying that I've verified the funds of this contract. So how many times have you been fighting with your buyers trying to get them to see a lender and they go, well, I'm not ready yet and we're just looking? This is a wonderful reason to say, you know, if tomorrow we find a property and we want to write an offer, we don't have a verification of funds done. Means you're going to have to show it to them. You haven't been to a lender yet, so it's much better to go to a lender up front, verify that you have loan approval, and that's going to make your offer look much better to a seller.